Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And welcome again to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. Delighted to be back on the air. I hope I remember how to do this. Been off for a few days. Thank you to everybody who filled in, including Jerry Usher and Sherry. And what's the name of that other guy that filled in?
David. Sherry and somebody.
There was another guy. It'll come to us during the course of the show. It will come to us at some point. I am not at home, however, on the road here. Delighted to be in Oklahoma. We're in Broken Arrow, right? We're not in Tulsa.
Correct.
All right. We're in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, with the men of the Catholic Men Show, David Niles and Adam Minahan. Hello, David and Adam.
Hello, Cy.
What's going on, man?
Thank you very much for the invite to come here to the fine state of Oklahoma. It always feels good to leave California for a little while, come back to America. wait, that came out wrong. I apologize. That came out wrong. Let's take turns. We'll start with you, David. The Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
How long has it been going on? Where can people find it?
About 3 years. Mm-hmm. We have this thing called a website.
You have a website?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the new rage. Everybody's doing it these days. It's called thecatholicmanshow.com.
Wow.
Yeah, and so if you have one of these internet protocol devices, you can actually visit that website.
And find out all about the Catholic Man Show.
Yes, you can find information there.
And you do the show with Adam. He's the one with the sense of humor, obviously.
Naturally.
It's not just the Catholic Man Show. You have a radio station here.
That's right, yeah, St. Michael Catholic Radio. We started that in 2013, so about 5 years ago, six years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And our topic first hour is going to be authentic friendship. You two have been friends since what major event in your lives?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Okay, mm-hmm. Kindergarten. That is a major event.
Yeah.
And
specifically recess, because that's the biggest event during kindergarten.
Yes, right.
It's like recess, lunch, and then everything else.
I actually only remember one day of kindergarten. It was the day we made chocolate pudding. That stuck with me.
Like that is a big day.
If you make chocolate pudding, So you're still friends.
Yes.
You run this radio station together.
Shockingly.
You do the Catholic Man Show together. You're both fathers now of about 6-7 kids?
Let's see. I have 3 and 1 on the way, and you have 3.
We have 3.
My math says that's 7.
Yes.
What is it that this thing? What is friendship? We're going to talk a little bit about authentic friendship. You guys have been living it. What is it?
Yeah, so friendship is something that I think is very common to the everyday experience that most people would say, "Oh, well, friendship is friendship," but it's almost so common, it's difficult to define.
Yes, right.
So if I was going to define it, I would say that it's goodwill shared between two people. Whose lives overlap. Okay, so you're living your lives together. You're just doing the day-to-day things with each other, and you don't hate each other. I mean, the very basic definition.
C.S. Lewis had a great saying that said, you're a true friend whenever you realize somebody else, you see somebody else, you go, no way, you too?
It's right. Yeah, as so many things with Lewis, he gets it right in one little phrase. If you'd like to talk with us about authentic friendship, 888-318-7884 is the number. That's 888-31-TRUTH. And it does seem to me, and I'll ask you guys about this, it seems that we're in a bit of a crisis of friendship. We certainly have millions and millions of people, and it gets worse every year, apparently, over the course of, say, the last 10 or 15 years, expressing to pollsters and researchers that they're more lonely. And so one would guess that more loneliness means less friendship. Also, I'll throw out there, it seems to me that it may be this way for both men and women, I don't know, but speaking as a man and seeing young men today, there's a kind of way in which two men get close to one another, and then there's a kind of fear that that's going to get tongues wagging or something, because friendship has been so sexualized in much of the mm-hmm. culture. Would the two of you agree with me that friendship, that this is a kind of a time of crisis for friendship? And then how would you describe that crisis if you do?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's a time of crisis in friendship, mainly because society has made us like so inward. We're thinking about ourselves. Technology has brought us so deep within ourselves where we're not even having good conversations with people any longer. Even people in the business workplace, there's no longer a good conversation. Like, hey, let's go have lunch and just have a real human interaction between one another. I think so. There's not these natural things any longer where, hey, let's go riding the bus together and have a natural conversation, because you go on the bus and everybody's on the phone.
That's a very good point. Yeah, so a lack of conversation would certainly lead to a lack of friendship. If you won't talk to one another,
right,
it's pretty hard to be friends.
Yeah, and our culture, the values of our culture have just gotten so skewed. One of the things they value higher than anything is sex. Your right to have it with you, with whoever you want, when you want to do it, in the way that you want to do it, whatever makes you happiest, so to speak. And so, because that's one of our highest values, I think that our culture would say, if there's a relationship here, it must be about sex, because that's what's most important to the culture. And so it's just a, it's because they've lost the true, the good, and the beautiful. You know, they've lost touch with those real things in life. Not that sex isn't real. I mean, of course it is, but they've lost the context.
If that's what we're about, we become kind of animalized rather than humanized.
Right.
We're just trying to feed our animal appetites instead of we have an appetite for conversation, for example, mm-hmm. and that's missing now, or it's buried under all this other stuff, or people don't get to fully have it realized in their life. Mm-hmm. It strikes me that the Christian understanding of God as a triune God, as an eternal communion, as an eternal sharing of selves, and then the scriptural revelation that we are made in the image and likeness of God suggests that we're made for communion as well. We're made for the full, perfect sharing of selves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that men in particular have been, you know, the devil is so good at dividing and conquering. And so he's so good at that. So for men, I think that a lot of times guys don't realize that I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one struggling with this.
Yeah.
They feel like that there's no way out. I'm the only one that's really struggling with this. In fact, and who they surround themselves with is going to be how they interpret that reality. In fact, St. Augustine, in his Confessions, he talks about this. When he was younger, he had a group of friends, and he talks about how he stole a peach or a pear from a guy when he was young. And the pear wasn't even good. It didn't even taste good. He stole it because his friends were like, hey, let's go steal this.
Uh-huh.
And so he wasn't hungry. It wasn't that he wanted it. He needed it.
Right.
But because he was surrounded with those people, he went and stole that. Now, fast forward a few years, and he surrounded himself with St. Ambrose.
Yeah.
And St. Ambrose is telling him that, no, you need to focus on prayer. You need to focus on the reality of God. And now he's a doctor of the church. So I think it really depends. Friendship is so important for our sanctity, for our salvation.
Right.
To have people around us with the common foundation, namely Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it's so important for especially men to have people around them.
And the thing is that as we become wealthier and there's air conditioning everywhere, it's possible to really live an isolated life and have a simulation of friendship. You know, the people on TV are your friends, you know, and you can,
right.
You don't even have to go through the drive-thru. Like, people will go, ah, it's too much trouble to go through the drive-thru. I'll just call Grubhub. Like, that, if you're so isolated that it's too much trouble to drive through the drive-thru, that's a culture with a problem.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let me give out the number again. 888-318-7884 is the number. I am Cy Kellett, your host, joined by David Niles and Adam Minahan of the Catholic Man Show. You both recently gave a talk at the up at Mundelein, right? At the Courage Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Courage is probably the largest international Catholic group for people who experience same-sex attraction. And so you talked on friendship.
Yeah, Father Bochansky was kind enough to invite us out there to talk to them. We had so much fun up there in Mundelein. One, it's beautiful. Have you been to the Mundelein before, Si?
Why are you trying to make me look bad? No, I've never been there. I don't remember. No.
Well, it was our first time to go.
Yeah,
as
it was our first time.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, but it was absolutely beautiful. We had a chance to hang out with Father Bochansky, who is the executive director of Courage. He's been on Catholic Answers.
Many times, yeah.
And we had a chance to interact with so many great people there. It was so much fun. Yeah, but we had
That really was really a good experience, just being surrounded by all these people dedicated to living their faith. It was just – there was an energy just being there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great time. And so, yeah, we were speaking on this topic of authentic friendship. And really the kind of the guy who wrote the book on friendship, as it were, is Aristotle. He outlined three different types of friendship. They are friendships of utility, friendships of pleasure, and then what he calls authentic friendship. So a friendship of utility is a friendship where both parties gain something from the relationship. So it could be a coworker or just, you know, oh, I'm friends with him and maybe he gets me this benefit, whatever it is. We have a lot of these types of relationships. And then friendship of pleasure would be someone you just simply enjoy being with.
Yeah.
Maybe a drinking buddy.
Somebody you go to the coffee shop with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But this authentic level of friendship, he said, this is really what we should be striving for, but it's very difficult to find and it's difficult to achieve. And Aristotle said that not everyone is even capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. Because in order to have an authentic friendship, you have to, both parties must be dedicated to the pursuit of virtue. And that must be really the heart of the friendship itself, that we're both pursuing the good life, as Aristotle puts it, and that I'm helping you get there, you're helping me get there, and that our lives are really intertwined in a much deeper, deeper way than somebody that, you know, you go to baseball games with or something like that.
All right, so you get to the point of willing the good of the other, not just willing any good for the other, but willing the highest good for the other. And then you're assisting that person towards the highest good.
Right, yeah. So for us, especially as Christians, that kind of changes the game a little bit, because now that we have this benefit of divine revelation, we know what the highest good is. And so that, you know, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So for us as Christians, Christ has to be that center.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm not sure that you can really call it an authentic relationship. You know, sort of like once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And so Christ raises the bar for us and in our relationships with one another. And so the same thing is true, especially in the friendships that we have. So, you know, if you're going to have a deep, authentic relationship with someone, a deep friendship, Christ needs to be at the middle of it for us as Christians.
It's amazing, too, how many of the saints had those kind of friendships.
Yeah.
You know, you see the all throughout the history of sainthood, there are these kind of, I mean, in a certain way, I don't know how much of a friendship it was, but even before Pope Francis, the two previous popes, they're like partners in doing this work together and helping one another do it. And this may be an ingredient that we think we search, you can get all the self-help books you want, you can get all the great books from, you know, whatever Catholic book publisher you want, but it can't entirely be a journey made on one's own.
We're not made for that.
No.
We're made for communion.
Amen, brother. 888-318-7884 is the number. Maybe you're experiencing some loneliness in your life, or maybe someone that is important to you in your family, a child, a parent, is, and you'd like to talk about authentic friendship in that regard. 888-318-7884. Or maybe you're struggling in friendship yourself, and you'd like some pointers on how to deepen friendship with others or pursue more satisfying, fuller, more humane friendships. 888-318-7884. Our guests are the hosts and creators of The Catholic Man Show, Adam Minahan and David I should explain why we're making that joke about not remembering people's names, because our president, Chris Check, was hosting Catholic Answers while I was away, and he said, oh, Cy's going to go be in Tulsa with Adam Minahan and that other guy. What's that other guy's name?
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. I don't remember his name. So that's why we're making that joke. David Niles, the other guest. 888-318-7884, the number. We're very happy to take your calls. Hey, you probably almost all Catholics have heard this news. Pew Research did a poll just recently. One third of U.S. Catholics either understand or agree with what the church says the Eucharist is, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. One third of Catholics. We want to do our part to remedy that, so we've got a free ebook for you. It's called Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist. Download your copy free today by checking the free ebook banner at shop.catholic.com. Get your free ebook at shop.catholic.com and come closer to the one thing that matters, the Eucharist.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
When you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
The Doctor is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. This afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Live from beautiful Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Delighted to be here with Adam Minahan and David Niles, the hosts of the Catholic Man Show, and the guys who run St. Michael Radio right here in Broken Arrow, and been doing so since 2013, huh? 2000. Yeah. You guys have done a lot, because all of your children have been born since then, correct? So you guys
are correct. Yeah. Yes.
Wow, it's been a good 6 years for you.
It's been absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't complain at all.
That's true. It
has been. Well, that's good, because it's such a blessing. Everywhere where there's Catholic radio, it's such a blessing. And I hope we have lots and lots of folks here with us. I hope you all are supporting the efforts of St. Michael's Radio. But it's important everywhere. I mean, bit by bit, we Catholics, we're working our way in there. You know, I used to give talks on Catholic radio, and at the time there were 1,500 Protestant radio stations in the United States, and there were about 100 Catholic radio stations.
Wow.
This is maybe 8 or so years ago. Today we're well over 400 Catholic radio stations in the U.S. So
yes.
we're little by little.
Praise God.
The message is getting out because of people like you. And thank you very much for doing it. We're talking about authentic friendship this hour with two very good friends. They've been friends since kindergarten. They now are partners in the effort of the Man Show and on St. Michael's Radio. And, do you live near each other? Or?
Yeah, that's the funny thing about it is that after we got out of college, we moved in together, and then I got married, he got married, he moved away, and then a house came.
Wait a second,
sale.
You said I got married, he got married, he
yeah.
moved away. Like, so that means when you got married, he was still living with you?
When I started to pay rent.
That is
I had to pay rent still.
And then his beautiful wife Haley got pregnant, and that's when I said, "All right, I'm getting out of here."
Yeah, so he moved out, and then
you did not want to deal with a pregnant woman in the house. Is that what you're saying?
I just knew that.
Come on, now.
It was time.
Yeah, I think if it
it was time.
Perhaps past time, yeah. David. Some might
one,
say.
One may say.
Okay, so how close are you now to one another?
We're across the street from
you
each
live,
other.
Okay,
yeah,
and your kids are all the same ages.
Yeah, same ages, so now they're becoming friends, which is awesome.
I've
learned being a dad that it's so important to be able to provide good friends for your kids. So I'm really thankful for that opportunity.
That's wonderful. And okay, so now all that time, were you both kind of always Catholic together? Did you help each other out in that regard? Have you strengthened each other's faith on that journey? Or?
Yeah. So when we went to college, our stories are very similar. We both kind of walked away from the faith. Mm-hmm. It's not that and I'll speak for myself, it's not that I rejected the faith. I just kind of, I became apathetic. I just, you know, said, oh, I'll come back to that later. And praise God I did. Mm-hmm. So it's not a strategy I recommend. But us moving in together after college was definitely a catalyst for that, and certainly a reinforcement of that decision to begin practicing the faith. I remember one day one of us came up to the other one and said, hey, I've got a crazy idea. What if we went to church this Sunday? And I remember it, they're like, whoa, that is a crazy idea. Okay. All right.
You wild know. Men.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I may, I have a best friend, very similar. I mean, we live very far apart from each other. We live on opposite ends of the country now, but very close. And I think I cannot imagine my faith in Jesus being what it is without him. I just can't imagine it. So one day, I don't know, we were talking and another friend was there, and somebody was saying about going on a date with somebody. And she said to us, this friend of ours who had known us for quite a while, I assumed the two of you were gay. To which we said, why would you assume that? Like, that seems like a very odd thing to assume. But it was maybe, you know, people are not used to men who are close to one another, who love one another, who go to mass together, that kind of thing. Does that – have you? Is it just me? Like, is it the way I act that's better to say that? I want to know, do people kind of wonder about your closeness to one another?
Only in the comment section on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. Or at least they don't say it to my face, but.
But the internet is a weird world, man.
Yeah, that's why I try to stay out of it as much as I can. But it strikes me that people think that that's a mature and grown-up way. Like, oh, I'm in on something clever or something. But you're not. You're missing out on something beautiful if you decide you're going to sexualize everyone's friendship. If you're going to be, I don't know about those two. Like, okay.
And not only beautiful, but essential.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be harder for you to get to heaven if you don't have companions, and, you know, I'll just speak from the male perspective. If you don't have a brother fighting by your side, then you're going to lose the battle. Well, I'm not going to say you're going to lose the battle. Everyone has Christ by their side. But the more people you have on your team, the better chances you have. So, yeah, I mean, without someone who can hold you accountable, then you're going to give yourself a pass on certain things.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we've been talking about virtue, right? And virtue is the habit of doing the good. And sometimes it's hard to do the good. It's not sometimes natural to do good. It's not easy to do that. But having that guy beside you said, hey, we're going to Mass today.
Right.
Let's go. We're going. That kind of reinforces your decision. Yep, we got to go.
Yeah, because I feel like, and within my friendship that I was mentioning, I feel like I'm the guy who I love to pray when I feel like praying. And he's the guy that says, it doesn't matter if you feel like it, right?
Yeah,
it's time to pray. Like, you just, and that changed me. And maybe I had some positive effects on him as well. But I do think that's part of why you need that other person there to help you. 888-318-7884. A bunch of people want to talk to you on the phone. I've been monopolizing you, so we'll go to the phones. Carl in Dallas, Texas, listening on AM 910 Guadalupe Radio. Carl, your question for Adam and David.
This is a little variation on the theme, but I'm a recent empty nester, and my wife and I raised four children, and we both have busy careers. And now I'm at the point of going, oh, who is this beautiful woman I'm living with? Oh, look at that, you know. I don't really know this person as much as I would like to. And so I'm kind of in that position of kind of reestablishing a relationship or a deeper friendship. With my wife after my children are gone, and I wondered if, from your perspective, you could give me a word of encouragement or advice.
Well, first of all, God bless you for for pursuing friendship with your wife. I think friendship and marriage, although friendship is not necessary for marriage to be good, because so many goods are produced by marriage, like children, like stability in society. It's not essential that husbands and wives be friends in order for the marriage to be called a good thing. But friendship in marriage is one of the greatest possible goods you can achieve in this life.
Yeah, Carl, I think that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. I would kind of ask, and you don't have to respond to this right now, but I would think back onto What did you do when you were dating your wife, when you were courting her? You said, you know, obviously she's a beautiful woman and she's a beautiful wife. So what made you attracted to her? What did you guys go do first? I would go back to what you did when you first started dating. What were your common interests? I'd make sure to – we talked about it earlier, to make sure that you have these common grounds. So make sure you have – you're praying together. I think prayer is with husband and wife is absolutely important. But I would also think about – what were the things that you did before you guys got married, before you had kids, and go do those?
Yeah, Carl, this is a really good question. And this is one of the things that Aristotle actually got wrong about friendship. He said that a husband and a wife could not be friends because...
Mrs. Aristotle must have been thrilled to hear that.
Well, yeah.
Thanks.
Back in Aristotle's day, men and women were not on equal footing socially. Right. And so Aristotle said that a boss could never be friends with a laborer and that people of different classes would never be able to have a friendship, a real friendship. We know that that is wrong because we know that our dignity comes from the same place. Okay, so we are all equal with each other. I would say for you to simply do the things that are day-to-day. You know, friendship comes from having these overlapping lives. Do the dishes together. Just spend time with each other. And that is really the basis for friendship.
Try listening to her, too. I found that does the trick a lot. 888-318-7884. The number. We'll be right back with more Authentic Friendship with Adam and David on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, coming to you from Oklahoma today, where it's very, it doesn't, I have to say I had a prejudice in me. I thought August in Oklahoma might be really hot, and it's not terribly, terribly hot.
You got lucky. We had a storm last night that cooled everything off.
You weren't here yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, really? It's one of those deals?
Yeah.
Well, see, now my whole impression of Oklahoma in August is going to be like, it's fine. Go ahead.
And you know what? It is really hard to cool a teepee in 105 degree weather, yeah.
Which of you lives in a teepee?
Well, everybody does around here.
I was not aware of that. You all live in teepees?
Yeah, this is just a big teepee right here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The horse gets tired, too, from the heat.
In the heat?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have one horse. Okay, so this is my now. This is my impression now that I have of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Everybody lives in teepees and there's one horse. Does that? Yeah. Would you say that's an accurate
A one-horse town?
That's weird. People are nodding. Like, yes, that is us. Okay. All right. Very good. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you prefer the spelled version, 888-31-TRUTH. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Our guests are Adam Minahan and David Niles. Together, they are the hosts of the Catholic Man Show, which you can find at catholicmanshow.com or on select Catholic radio stations around Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We're talking authentic friendship this hour, and you get the strong impression when you're around Adam and David that they are living an authentic friendship with one another. It's a beautiful thing, and one that the world needs more of. We have an absolute epidemic of loneliness sweeping the nation. And for many people, I'll throw this out to you. There are many people I meet, actually, you know, you go out and do talks in various places, who are lonely through absolutely no fault of their own. You can see interacting with the person that this is a fine person, that make a great friend, but it's that there's no one there. People are not going to the events at the parishes, or they're not going to clubs and things like they used to, you know, like the Elks Club or the Moose Lodge or whatever the club was that people used to go to, the Fraternal Order of the Buffalo or whatever. And
is that a real thing?
I believe that was Fred Flintstone's club. I can't remember, but I often feel really badly for people who will say, "I'm doing everything I can. What's wrong with me?" There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah,
people are not socializing in the way they used to socialize. It's hard to make friends and to find friends.
No, I agree, and that's something that we have heard a lot. We've given talks also on how to start men's groups.
Mm-hmm.
Women seem to be able to make friends a little bit better than men. They're just more of they're receivers, you know, and men have to
they're nicer. Come on.
Holier.
Are way nicer than men.
They're way holier.
Oh
than
yeah.
Men too.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But they're good at, you know, being receptive to one another. That's what I'm trying to say. Men have to almost put it on the calendar, you know, to be intentional about doing something today.
They have to not only put it on their calendar, they have to put it on their wife's calendar so she'll remind them to go to the event.
Get that reminder text message.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, today will be a friend. Okay.
Right.
The next 30 minutes I will be friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend. He's a Deacon John, and he always says, if we don't know one another, we can't love one another.
Mm.
But there's something in men that really we are capable of just putting on the football games on Saturday and Sunday, and just we're on our own. We're in a different world, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to come out. I mean, if not for yourself, for the other people who need to have human contact with one another.
Right.
All right. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Kim's up next. Kim's in Providence, Rhode Island, listening to channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. Kim, your question for David and Adam.
Hi there. I live in a very small state. I live in Rhode Island.
That's actually the smallest state. There are no smaller states than that. Yeah.
I listened to your convo earlier about how, you know, society has become a little bit sexualized, and I really don't fit in that category. I'm an introvert, and I just, what are some tips on making authentic friendships that, you know, are based on our highest self and something that's, you know, long lasting? I'm single, I'm an animal lover, but I'm kind of I'm more of like a brainiac kind of woman. I have a law degree. I'm quiet, but I am searching for, you know, my life partner, and I'd just like to have some tips, you know, from a man's point of view, for an authentic friendship.
Yeah, Kim, I would say look for someone who's doing the things that you like to do. So if you have a hobby, or if there's something, just, you know, what do you like to do for leisure? If you can find a friend, you know, who's doing these things as well, that is a really good candidate for someone who could be, you know, a deeper level of friendship, because
An important element of friendship is that you have and do things in common. And so if you, you know, sometimes you just meet somebody and right away, you know, we're going to be friends. You know, somehow you can, there's just something about it within a few minutes. You can just tell we're going to be friends. And then there's other people that you like and have goodwill. And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm a good Catholic. You're a good Catholic. I just don't really have anything to say to you. And I don't know why. You know, I want to be friendly, but conversation is a struggle, mm-hmm. you know, between two people. So if you can find somebody, like if you could find somebody who likes law, who's Catholic, I mean, that would be perfect. Or just whatever else, whatever your hobbies are. I don't know, Adam, do you?
Yeah, I would just say make sure you go to your parish events. You know, whatever, mm-hmm. there's a lot of like women's groups, men's groups. There's a lot of parish events that are happening in your local area. That's the way to be able to find not only people that are have the same common ground, but the same religion, you know, the same faith background as you do, which ultimately, if you're looking for that authentic friendship, Jesus must be the foundation in this friendship. So you already got that box checked off, right, Si?
Amen. Yeah, and I think sometimes people, we act as if friendship is supposed to be just come naturally to everybody, and it is. There are actually skills to being a good friend and that kind of thing, and conscientiously work on those skills. You can work on those things that make it possible to be a good friend and for someone else to find that in you. The hard thing is that so many people have made Netflix their best friend or whatever it is, you know. To be just brutally frank, for men, it's heartbreaking, but many pornography is their primary human contact, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And, you know, people are losing years and decades of their lives in these solitary pursuits. And it actually means that someone, you know, like you, Kim, has to be very intentional about it. Very intentional about this is going to be, you know, something I'm going to work on. Like you would work on something if you were going to be writing a book, or if you were going to be, making a new product or something, because it's not something that's coming natural to other people as well, you know. And you know, if you're looking for a husband, I mean, I don't know what else to say to men except get away from that computer screen, because there are really good women who need a husband, and you need to be that man. You need to start being that man now. And I'm going to tell you one other secret.
Okay.
And I don't know if Adam and David.
I got my
David
pen out.
This is about men.
Can I write it down?
Okay. Oh.
Most men need a woman to grow them up. Like, we don't really grow up until a woman says, knock it off. Whatever it is that we're doing, knock it off.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Why was there so much reaction to that?
Yeah. Right. The men are saying nothing.
Yeah.
But, there, you know, whether our thing is, you know, I don't know, drinking or pornography or just we're not very nice or whatever, until a woman says, knock it off, you need to join the human race.
Yeah.
We can just kind of grunt and go through life. So,
And Kim, I would just say that sometimes you have to be, even though you're an introvert, you might not like to do this, you might have to be the one to start something. So invite somebody over for lunch that you think, you know, it's like, oh, I know them and I kind of like them. Because very often you can know someone for a long time and then maybe you'll go somewhere together or do something and you realize, oh, I didn't know you liked all these things, and I didn't know we had so much in common. And all of a sudden you can develop this friendship when you've known them, you know, for so long. So there could be people at your parish or, you know, wherever. So just invite them over for lunch. I mean, and if it doesn't work out, that's just the way it goes.
How's that, Kim? Were we any help
just
at all?
Think outside the box.
Yeah.
And Kim, part of it also is to be vulnerable. I think it's really tough to be vulnerable these days. We don't have the opportunity to be vulnerable, and we're always worried about, well, if I share this part of my life with this person, they may not like it. They may reject it. You know, they may think differently about me. And we have to get over, you know, being Catholic, you have to kind of be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to step out of the box. You have to be able to be a little bit vulnerable to be able to share your life with somebody else.
Kim, we got to leave it there because we have to go to a break. Thank you very, very much for that call, and God bless you in your search. I'm sure that he will. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We're talking authentic friendship with two fine friends, David Niles and Adam Minahan, the men behind the Catholic Men Show, the motto of which is
cheers to Jesus?
Yes. Cheers. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Okay. I like cheers to Jesus. I feel like I can remember that
We
one.
Say both.
You say both. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're interchangeable.
All right. Hey, we have that free ebook. I don't want you to miss out on it. If you'd like Face-to-Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist, maybe for yourself, maybe for someone else, maybe you'd just like to read it so you're prepared to have that conversation with someone in your family, including your children. We have that research out, really heartbreaking research that only one-third of Catholics either accept or know the Catholic teaching on the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's why we made this free ebook available to you. Just go to shop.catholic.com. Click on the free ebook banner and get your free copy of Face to Face with Jesus, the Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Starting to feel back in the swing of it now. Took a week off. I'm starting to feel right now after like 45 minutes of radio. I'm starting to feel like I can remember how to do it. You are listening to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guests, Adam Minahan and David Niles. Don't worry, though. We got better guests the second hour. Just make it through this one, and we got really good guests next hour. We're going to talk about fatherhood with two tremendous fathers. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions about authentic friendship, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. One thing we have not touched on, and before I go to our next caller, I want to ask you about this. I actually sometimes feel somewhat anxious in conversations with people these days because everything in the world seems so polarized, like that you're afraid to say, you know, just to be yourself because, you know, maybe, you know, you're a Democrat, this person's a Republican, you're a Republican, this person's a Democrat, you're a, I don't know, you're a socialist and the other person is like normal or, you know, whatever. I didn't mean that in a bad way. Well, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Like the culture is so polarized that you almost – you're on pins and needles around other people sometimes as you're getting to know them.
Yeah, no, I mean that's absolutely true, and it's that way with everything. You know, politics, of course, but there are just certain issues that you can't be on the fence about, you know, and especially for us as conservatives, it seems like at work or out in public – don't tell people how you feel or what you think about this. You know,
dude, because, you should come to California.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I don't know why that's happening.
I think it's probably.
But I hate it.
A lot of the social media has probably fueled that fire.
Yeah.
Everybody has to pick a side.
Pick a side on everything.
And you have to. And it's like,
right.
Did you hear what this person did today? Do you like it or do you not like it? You know,
right.
It's like, it wears you out.
And I think that people aren't actually discussing these ideas. They're not actually having conversations about them. Mm-hmm. They're just.
They're using them as like, that's an indicator. I can hang out with you. I can't hang out with you. You're
right.
In my team. You're not on my team.
They're just picking sides, right? They're not actually discussing ideas. Because I've found that when you challenge someone on, or, you know, think about Trent Horn on the Why Are You Pro-Choice episodes.
Yeah.
He'll ask them a few questions, and then it becomes pretty obvious that this person has never actually pondered their own position on abortion.
Right.
You know, they've never actually thought about it.
No.
And so I think that's really the case for
so much of this division between us.
But it seems like there are people who can just have a friendship. You know, okay, so you disagree with me on even a grave moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a level of friendship we could have. You could come over to my house. We could hang out. You know, we could watch the game together or whatever. But it seems like there's even less tolerance of that. Like, you can't even watch a baseball game with me because, you know, I don't know, you're pro-death penalty and I'm anti-death penalty. Or what? Or you like Pope Francis and I don't like Pope Francis. Whatever. Like, we can't even... It just seems off the rails to me.
Yeah.
And I think that Jesus prayed that we'd all be one. You know, so it's definitely so frustrating. I think the devil is just sitting there smiling. Like I said, he's a divider and conqueror. So, like, he divides everybody up. He's sitting there smiling. So I think that's important that we have prayer. I think prayer is so important to make sure that we come back together.
Yeah. Yep. And Jesus was not very selective in his friends. If you wanted to be his friend, he'd be welcome to be your friend.
Yeah. And he was selected for the first 12.
Yeah, right. And he didn't even get all of those right.
Right.
I was like, okay, you're a tax collector in a tree. I'll hang out with you.
Right.
You know, you're a wine drinker or a prostitute. Somehow people have to be good enough for us. They don't have to be good enough for God, but they got to be good enough for us. 888-3187-884 is the number. I think I know who is on the line. Drew in Cooperstown, New York, listening on 1460 AM. Are you there with us, Drew?
I am here, and I hear you dividing the audience, but I want to say that I'm pro Cy Kellett.
Oh, yeah, thank
you. There you go.
I have to tell you something. I know who this is. Remember I told you about my best friend before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is him. He's a...
Hey, Drew.
Why are you calling me at work?
I'm calling because I was wondering about the sort of the role of Jesus in the arc of a friendship, especially as sort of men age and don't spend as much time together. What's sort of the role of Jesus in trying to be disciples of Jesus in your friendship over the lifetime of a friendship?
All right. Men.
Yeah, Drew. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, so, Drew, I'm going to take one step back and say that the purpose of friendship, you know, God made us for communion. He made us for this need to be with each other. And the first question to ask is, why did he make us that way? He could have made us any way he wanted to. He could have made us so that we'd be fine all by ourselves. Just, you know, why aren't we all hermits just dedicating our lives to prayer? And I think the reason for that is because we're made for communion, because we're made in his image. And he himself is a communion. And so friendship in this life is practice so that we can be friends with God. Friendship is a sign that points to our eternal destiny, where we will spend all of infinity being in
all
this,
of infinity, not even part of it.
Right, all of it.
And beyond.
Yeah. And beyond.
Yeah, infinity and beyond.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should coin that. That's a good line.
Thank you.
But friendship is ultimately about God. It's about Christ. And so once you know the end of a thing, once you know what something is for, now you know how to do it well. Now you know if something is good or bad. So when we look at friendship, friendship is to lead us to Christ. It's to lead us to God. And so if Christ isn't part of it, then it's a bad friendship. I mean, if you have a relationship with someone, they are either reinforcing you in virtue or vice. There's a saying that you are essentially the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Okay? So there's this effect that when you're friends with someone, their phrases, the things that they say, end up becoming your phrases, and you start to say the same jokes as them. I mean, all of Adam's jokes are mine. Okay? He stole them from me. But their habits become your habits. You have a way of becoming more like each other. And the same is true in marriage. So if you're spending time with someone who is not a good example or helping lead you and grow you in virtue, because I've had friends in college, you know, there were friends that I had to kind of leave behind because they just weren't a good example for me. And once I realized that, that was a really difficult thing for me to do. But that is why Christ must be the center of your relationship, because that's what friendship is for.
Right.
You want to take the second half of his question? Because I pretty much nailed the first half.
Well, the answer is always Jesus, right? So, like, right, yeah. anytime somebody calls, the answer is Jesus, and we can go to the next caller. But like you said, yeah, human friendship is the natural preparation for entering friendship with God. And naturally, so if that's the case, friends don't let other friends sin. If David said, you know, like David said, if we know the end, and we know that we're supposed to be in communion with God, and our friendship is preparation for us to be in the unity in the whole body of Christ, the communion of saints and our beautiful mother and the beatific vision, if we're all supposed to be doing that, then friends don't let friends sin. Yeah. And so again, that's why it's so important to have people around you that are pushing you towards the virtuous life.
Yeah. And Tim, as far as maintaining long distance friendships, communication is the oxygen of friendship. So if you're not communicating, you could have the best friendship, but if time and distance separates you and you don't communicate, then slowly that relationship, that friendship will fade. I would say call them at work.
Yeah. call them at work.
Try that.
That's a bad idea. I don't know where these two came from. Drew, is that all acceptable to you?
Marginally, yes.
Good. Good.
Well, you know, the virtue is like in the middle. It's the mean. So maybe by marginally, he means like we're in the middle.
I don't.
We're the virtuous.
No, I'm just being.
He's being a smart aleck.
No, that was right. What do you guys think though about the role of the sort of the kingdom of God, right? Because the friendship is sort of a proleptic moment of the kingdom of God as well, right? So in addition to kind of being a moment of sort of growing in virtue, it's also this experience of God's love for us and one another, right?
Oh,
amen.
Totally.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said, Drew. I have to tell you, Drew said this about me once, and my other friends think that it is a perfect description of me. He okay. said, "You are a great friend in theory." And I So when you say that you need to keep up the communication, you're talking to the wrong end of that relationship. Thank you, Drew. I got to go. I got more calls. I got to go. Let's go to Tim in Black Hills, South Dakota, listening on the great Real Presence Radio. Tim, delighted to have you with us. Your question for Adam and David.
Hey, it was actually more of a statement, but we moved out here a couple of years ago, and we came from a parish on the east side of the state of South Dakota where we had lived there for 23 years, and, you know, the people we sat next to were the people that we hung out with during the week and on the weekends and stuff like that. And it took a good solid 2 years to actually find that sort of relationship over in this way, you know. And it was, you know, you have to almost find the right parish that fosters that community, you know, and sticking around maybe after Mass and talking to each other and seeing how everybody's doing.
Yeah, I definitely think, let's see.
That's Tim.
Tim, yeah, Tim, I definitely think you have to be intentional. We have to be intentional Catholics. We have to be intentional friends. And if that's the case, then that does mean that you have to stick around a little after Mass to maybe introduce yourself to a few more people. That means that maybe I do have to invite this person out for brunch to hang out for a little bit. I mean, if we're wanting to develop friendships, you know, Si, it's one thing to say, I want to go to Ireland. Because I do. I want to go to Ireland. My family's from Ireland. I'd love to go. It's another thing to say, I'm planning to go to Ireland. Mm-hmm. You know, because if I'm planning on it, then I'm saving money, then I'm picking out a date, then I'm packing my bags, I'm getting everything ready. But if I just say I want to go to Ireland with no end in sight, then I'm just wishing. I'm not really actually doing anything. So you have to be, if I want to be intentionally going to Ireland, I need to prepare for it and plan for it. If you want to be an intentional friend, you have to intentionally plan on it and ask people to hang out with you.
Yeah, and Tim, I would say that, you know, your experience is probably common for many, many people when they move somewhere new. And I think that's just one of the things that we need to work on as a church is being welcoming. So I want to kind of flip it and say that, you know, from the other end, now that you do have a good community, we need to all be aware of new people. If you see someone new in your parish, go talk to them. Don't just say like, oh, yeah, I saw someone new.
Isn't that Protestant? Like, can Catholics do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. We are allowed to, yeah.
Oh, okay. To be hospitable. Yes,
really? All right, okay.
I have a friend who's so good at this, and he'll if he sees someone new, he's like a beeline for him. And him doing that has brought a couple families into the church. Just because he went up and talked to them,
wonderful,
they decided to become Catholic. It wasn't even necessarily the doctrine that convinced them,
right?
Not at first. So we have to do that. So if you see someone new, just go up and say, hey, you don't have to like move in, you know, like to you don't have to share an apartment with them. You know, just be friendly because it makes a huge difference.
What do you think, Tim? Oh, I think
you're about, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. I was thinking you're spot on with that. It does take an effort. And Adam, I'd just add that our ancestors probably come from the same area because you and I share the same last name.
What? Hey, no kidding.
Well, you two should plan to go to Ireland, all right? Don't just say you're going to Ireland. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, everybody who called. Our guests have been Adam Minahan and David Niles. Their program is The Catholic Man Show. You can find it at CatholicManShow.com. You can find out about all about their efforts to continue the traditions of Catholic radio right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We're going to continue second hour. You're going to be delighted with our second hour end of the week guests. But I'm going to leave you hanging. We'll get to that right after this. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be with you. Again, we're broadcasting, if you're just joining us, we're broadcasting from Oklahoma today, not from our usual spot in Southern California. It is delightful in Oklahoma here in Broken Arrow, which is right next to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And altogether makes a very, very fine area where apparently people live in teepees, but I'm not sure if they're teasing me about that or not. We'll talk about fatherhood this hour. Last hour we talked about authentic friendship, and if there's a crisis in friendship, I don't even know what the word is for the situation with fatherhood. And I imagine we will, over the course of the hour, discuss some of the causes of what has gone into basically breaking fatherhood as an institution in many ways in our society. But we Christians, we Catholics, and all people of goodwill need to recognize the important place, the role that fathers play in the lives of children, their own children, other people's children, and society. It is not an option for society to have good fathers. Either you got good fathers or pretty soon you won't have a society at all. To join me here to talk about the situation with fatherhood and talk positively about fatherhood, about what fathers can do, what fathers bring, and what fathers can learn to bring if they haven't been bringing it already, are David Niles and Adam Minahan, the two creators and hosts of the Catholic Men Show. I'm delighted that you two were able to stay for another hour.
We're happy to be here. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Zai, you're making a big mistake, but, you know, we're happy to be here.
Wait, why am I making a big mistake? Having you on for another hour?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Yes, I could feel that this is a potential disaster we have on our hands. But
it's like a slow car wreck that you just can't look away from.
Yeah. If you have questions about fatherhood, if you'd like to talk about your own role as a father, or maybe if you are someone who feels that you can offer some help to someone who needs some help in their fathering, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884 is the number. Fatherhood. Let's give our bona fides then. All fathers, you are both in your fertile years of marriage. So we don't know where you keep having them. You got one coming in November.
I do. I have a little boy coming in November. Yes, I'm excited. So it'll be two boys, a girl, and another boy.
All right. And now this is the thing. You live across the street from your best friend, David Niles.
Correct.
And you have a bunch of boys. One
yes.
little girl, mm-hmm. Rose. No.
No, no, Anna.
Anna. Yours is Rose.
Yes.
And you decided, well, since we live across the street from him and his gaggle of boys, we'll just have girls.
Yeah.
Right. So you got a bunch of girls.
Yeah. I suppose that's what we did. I really think it's just maybe a slice of justice. When I got married, I told my wife we could talk about having a girl after we had 11 boys.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're one of those dads.
And so now here I am with the three girls.
And, yeah. And one
and,
of,
and loving every minute of it, really.
I know. It is wonderful. And yeah. One of your daughters is Rose, and it's her, yes. It's her feast day today.
Yeah. Today, her middle name is Rose, but today is the feast of
St. Rose of Lima.
Yes.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. So fathers need role models.
Yes.
All right. Mine are Ernie and Bert.
Nice.
No, that's not true.
That is too bad.
I have fathers and I don't have fathers. I have a father and grandfathers and uncles and all that. Did you have experiences of good model fathers?
I did. My parents, some of the best parents I know are my own.
Uh-huh.
My dad.
You have not met my parents, though.
He's a great dad. I really can't think of anything that they would have – they didn't do anything wrong, you know, and they were just always so – such the great example of what a marriage should be. So
that's
I'm very blessed.
I was
very, very blessed in that way, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same here. My grandfather and my father, they were great role models for me. And it's really interesting because, you know, my grandfather passed on the faith to my father, which passed on to me,
right.
and so on and so forth. So if we think about fatherhood and what we do and what we do not do has multi-generational effects. I mean, you only get one shot at fatherhood. Like, it's not like you get to play the rewind button and do it all over again.
Right.
So it's so important as fathers that we take our roles as fathers seriously, mm-hmm. and that we remember that what we are doing affects not only multi-generations, but potentially eternity.
That's indeed correct. I mean, Thomas Aquinas would tell us that the reason to have children is more souls in heaven.
Yeah.
But we have lost sight of that. I think many parents have the idea that get them to college or get them through college or something like that is the goal. But heaven is the goal that fathers must have for their children.
Yeah, fatherhood is this incredible gift. And it pains me to see our culture spit on it so much. You know, so I have three kids, and even with only three kids, I get comments about, well, you know, are you guys done? Are you guys done?
Yeah.
You know, it's as if the culture doesn't want fathers to be fathers. You know, this ability to co-create life with God, I mean, that's crazy. It really is.
Right.
It boggles the mind to really think about the reality of that. And so the culture is trying to suppress that. I mean, vigorously they are. After my first daughter was born, this is my first day back from work, and I'm walking in with a coworker of mine, and they looked at me and said, so are you guys done? And kind of shaking their head like, you're done, right? And I looked at them and said, maybe you didn't know this was only our first child. And they said, oh, I know but that's enough for some people. And I was just blown away that
why are we having this conversation?
Right, yeah,
first
like,
of all,
like, so this is none of your business, but, the culture hates it. They hate fatherhood.
Yeah. Right. Right. But that, at least what you're describing is part of the anti-humanity of our culture. Our culture doesn't like human beings very much. I mean,
right.
you do hear more and more about, I mean, it seems almost obsessive, the reporting on human beings as a plague on the planet.
Right.
As if the real value is that the planet gets its a good night's sleep every night and you know, and nothing bothers the planet. But human beings are troubling the planet.
Right. That's one of the problems with, and I don't want to open a can of worms here, but the...
Open it. Come on, David.
The global warming crowd... Behind the, you know, it's not maybe not the first line of what they're saying, but subtext is always population control.
Well,
it works its way in there.
Yeah, the population control, a disaster perpetuated by people in the 1960s following Paul Ehrlich's ridiculous book, The Population Bomb, a book that was wrong in virtually every prediction it made. But Paul Ehrlich still says, basically, I was right.
Is that the guy who said that the streets were going to be flooded with horse manure?
I do not remember the horse manure, but he said England won't exist as a country by 1985. And this is reported as science by people like Walter Cronkite, who also obsessed about it. And And now we have this idea that there's this mysterious thing called overpopulation, a thing that has never existed. There's no such thing as overpopulation.
Right. Yeah.
We have this anti-humanist view. And so you're saying that anti-humanist view means that we're not honoring fathers. We're saying maybe you should stop being so much of a father. Stop fathering so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I say that because that life-giving element is really the essential element of fatherhood. I think what most people think about when they hear the term fatherhood is the day-to-day, the rearing of children.
Yeah.
But even the rearing is a life-giving element. You know, children look to their parents to understand their self-worth in the early years. Continuing to, you know, raising your children well with love is an important life-giving element. But if something is not life-giving, then it doesn't really pertain to fatherhood.
You seem to have nothing to say on this. Is he a way better father than you? Is that why?
I just concur.
I concur. Going to be your...
Well, okay. You know, he takes all my jokes and he takes all my content.
You take my jokes. The friendship hour is over, guys.
This is ridiculous.
888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking about fatherhood this hour. 888-318-7884. The father has another weird role of modeling God to the child the stage of fatherhood I'm in, where all my children are in their 20s, you realize I wasn't a very good model. it becomes clear, like, I, you know, that a human being is not a good model for God in many ways. You just have to accept that. They need the real thing now, and they got to find him. But it's a heavy burden on a father to be the earthly image of God the Father for the first few years of the child's life.
Yeah, and I think for children, love from the Father is spelled T-I-M-E. Time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was doing the work, but okay.
And that's how, especially when they're young, they realize that the Father loves them because they're spending time with them. And so I think that a lot of times as dads, we can get overwhelmed and thinking, like, I'm not being a good dad. Look at this dad over here. He's doing all this stuff.
Right.
You know, and that is not of God. That thought process is not of God. You need to just spend time with your kids. Your kids are going to know that you love them by how much time you spend with them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. My baby brother, as all baby brothers can, he could talk to my father in a way none of the rest of us could. And it was anytime my father yelled, you know, raised his voice, my baby brother would say, "Quality time, Dad, quality time." So I'm hoping he's out of the will for that, but I don't know. We're talking fatherhood with David Niles and Adam Minahan, the men from The Catholic Man Show. 888-318-7884 is the number. Calls are piling up, so we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to take your calls for David and Adam right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, coming to you from Oklahoma today, where we are at St. Benedict Parish in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Broken Arrow is the home of St. Michael Radio, and we're joined by Adam and David, the men from the Catholic Man Show. they had our good friend Carlo Broussard on not too long ago. Carlo on.
I love Carlo. He's an awesome dude.
Tim Staples, he was here.
Trent Horn.
Trent Horn. They all rubbed it in when they came back. Yeah. Oh, have you ever been on the Catholic Man Show? I was like, no, I've never been on it. They're like, oh, it's really good. All the really good men have been on it.
Well, guess what?
That's when you tell them that some of you guys have to actually work every day.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I could act like I work. It would be faking, but right. I could act
but
like it.
Tomorrow's your lucky day. You'll be on the Catholic Man Show tomorrow.
I really hope you guys give me a hard time. I feel like that's an important part of it. Will you do that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I can do that.
Thanks.
I mean, I'm kind of apathetic about it, but sure.
Oh, man. I bet you weren't apathetic when Carlo was on. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're talking fatherhood with David and Adam, both of whom are fathers. And David, I saw your wife here a little while ago.
Did you? There she is. Look at her. Look how beautiful she is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then your wife got here early and...
Helped
looking
set
like
up everything.
She's delighted for August in Oklahoma right now as she carries your fourth child. But it's beautiful to see the families. There are a ton of people that want to talk to you about fatherhood. Shall we just go to the phones? Or
yeah, let's roll.
Yeah.
All right. Andy in Tampa, Florida, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You're up next, Andy. Your question for David and Adam.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Hey, Catholic Man Show guys, you know me as the Whiskey Man. I'm glad I was able to hear you driving home and get in touch. And just absolutely fantastic. Hey, quick question for you. It has to do with setting goals for our kids. You know, my wife and I have been talking about this, and we've been looking at it with our younger ones as it should be heaven and not Harvard. You know, we've misplaced our priorities in the world, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that as an approach as we raise our kids.
Yeah, so I think, Andy, that's a good question. I think, you know, what are the best ways to help our kids set goals? I've heard that kids listen to mom, but they watch dad.
Oh.
You know, so they'll watch dad. So what we do here in the Minahan house is we have what we call mom missions. And mom missions are things that we have to do, that the family has to do on a day-to-day basis or weekly basis, chores, things that we have to get done around the house. But we do it for mom, to help mom. So we set these goals of, okay, we have to make sure that we clean out the flower beds by the end of this week. We have to make sure that we have all the wood chopped before the winter time. And we call them the mom missions. And so that way we're doing it not only to help them know the dignity of work and to finish a task, but also doing it for another person whom you love. So it would be for your mother. So everything that we're doing in these mom missions – or for mom. So I think that's a great way to help set goals is by participating with them and doing them, incorporating them in things that you have to do on a regular basis anyway.
Yeah, Andy, I would say that the priorities that you set as a family will shape the goals that the individuals you're raising end up aspiring for. Another thing that I've heard and that I try to put into practice at the home is that the language you use becomes the goal. So what I mean by that is if you're talking about virtues in the home, if you're saying, oh, that was very generous of you, or, oh, that was very this, then the virtues become the goal because that's what you're talking about for your kids. So by holding them up as things to be attained, they will seek to attain them because that's what you are talking to them about all the time. So the priorities that you set will become priorities for them. But I think really you nailed it. I like that phrase, Harvard or heaven and not Harvard, because Harvard is stupid compared to heaven. I mean, who cares if you went to Harvard?
You don't even need to say compared to heaven, I don't think. But
I mean,
maybe that's picking on
depends.
Harvard.
I suppose it depends, you know.
But like, yeah.
You're trying to be a lawyer. Maybe it's maybe it's okay.
But when you baptize your kids, you're making a vow to raise them in the faith. So that
right.
is when you go back to, like, what are our goals? Well, what are the first things that we make promises? Do we promise to God that we raise our kids in the faith when they're baptized?
Yeah. Right.
So, yes, I think that you can, although Harvard or any college is a good option for a lot of people, we can't misconstrue that and make that the ultimate end. We need to make sure that we're taking our first vows, our first promises, especially to God, seriously.
I have to, if I may just add my 2 cents,
please.
I think that phrase, heaven, not Harvard, that should be a bumper sticker. I think it's we're sometimes in our parental anxiety, we are inflicting tremendous anxieties on our children. And you can be guess what? You can be a failure in this life in almost every way that the world counts and be a prince in heaven. And the thing the, that heaven, if we really truly believe that Christ is the one thing necessary, and we truly believe in heaven, and we, and this is another thing, I think we Catholics should talk about heaven more. We should talk about what it is and why we make that a goal, not because we're trying to escape from the world, but because we want the fullness of reality, not to flee from reality. But it takes courage, I think, for a parent to say, look, I am not going to, you know, drive my child crazy about some standardized test or this or that school, but I am going to do everything I can, everything in my power, that this child is prepared to be an adult in friendship with Jesus so that this child can be with Jesus in heaven. I do think it takes courage now.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those people who thinks when they show the parents at the Olympics, you know, and this their kid just got a 10 in gymnastics, their, you know, 9-year-old girl just flipped 43 times or something, I feel like they should have a section for the parents who said, no, I'm not going to inflict that on my child. Like, there should be a section where it's, no, I'm going to have my kid's going to get a normal childhood.
Right. Right.
And I actually feel quite strongly about that. With a lot of time, we have to stop being an affliction to our children and
sure.
be a help to them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if your kids are training for the Olympics. I apologize.
Well, and really, probably the affliction is the parents who did that to their children, who their children never had the aptitude to do that anyway.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
that's even worse because you're setting them up for failure. I mean,
Andy, thanks very, very much for the call.
Let me just throw one other thing in here, okay? Yeah. Because I inherited my sense of humor from my dad, okay? So he was always kind of the jokester. But there are a couple moments when I think back into my childhood that he did something that just really left an impression on me. And I'm not saying that if you do this to your kids, it will leave an impression on them. But I remember being at the table. We're all having dinner. We always had dinner every night together, almost every night anyway. And we're just having a good time. And all of a sudden, he kind of stopped and put his hands on the table and looked at us seriously. And he said, kids, remember, nothing matters if you don't make it to heaven. And kind of like, and we're all taken aback because it's like, yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay, Dad. Yeah. Like, I gotcha.
Yeah.
And then we went back to whatever. But that moment.
Isn't that something that stuck with you? Like
That, so that when it comes to setting goals, just reinforcing that basic truth that nothing matters if we don't go to heaven.
I think I forgot to take a break. Nick, did I forget to take a break? Oh, okay. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. We're talking about fatherhood. I didn't forget to take a break, so everything's all right. I will say thanks, Andy, for that call. We'll go to Brandon in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on FM 91.5. Brandon, your question for David and Adam.
Howdy, guys. First, I just want to say thank you for kind of creating this medium. There's a lot of young guys like myself out there who were pretty bereft of sort of positive role models, masculine or familial or otherwise. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to answer these questions.
Yeah, sure.
I'll try to keep mine quick. Thanks. Basically, I'm a new father. My son was born about a month and a half ago. And
congratulations.
His mother and I have made the decision. Thank you. I appreciate it. His mother and I have made the decision to sort of pursue a sort of holistic upbringing, if that makes sense. We're eschewing formula, we're, you know, all breastfeeding, trying to just keep things as sort of natural as possible, for lack of a better word.
Okay,
and so,
okay.
Needless to say, she is exhausted, right? She's up with this baby at odd hours of the night. He sleeps for sort of 3-hour chunks at a time. And she's just spent all the time, understandably so. Conversely, I'm working 8 hours a day. And when I'm home, it kind of feels like clocking in again. You know, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm doing laundry, I'm assisting with the baby. It's kind of a dusk till dawn operation. And it's great. It's amazing. It's a blessing. But at a certain point, I know that, or I hope to sort of expect for her to commit a little more to household endeavors. And I just want to ask, at what point is it appropriate to ask for more? And what is appropriate to expect at this point?
We're all terrified right now at this moment. Just first of all,
tread lightly.
She had a baby a month ago, and it is hard. I don't know that there's much in the world harder than the first baby because, I mean, it's not that the baby is hard. It's that you've never done this before, and you a lot changes. Would you guys say that's fair? The first baby is
The first baby, you spend a lot of energy on things that you don't do at all for the second.
And third. Like baths and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like yeah, way so overrated.
You definitely have to know that the end, like there is an end to this. It's not going to be forever. That's for sure.
No, right. That is the case. Maybe you have a male friend that you could sometime just hang out with and dump all your complaints and upsets on. And, your wife just had a baby 1 month ago.
Yeah.
And working 8 hours and coming home, it's very, very hard. But, I don't know if you watched her have that baby, but that's harder. And this is a learning experience for both of you. I don't know what.
Yeah. So Brandon,
go ahead.
Brandon, let me just a few things here. Your wife is your primary vocation. Okay. Your children are, we're talking about fatherhood today, but fatherhood is not so much a vocation as it is an office. Your vocation is to holy matrimony. Okay. It's not to holy fatherhood. Fatherhood is something that flows out of the vocation of holy matrimony, but she, your wife, is to be the most precious thing in your life here on earth. Okay. My father-in-law has a saying where he looks at his wife and says, "I chose her. You guys just showed up later." And, I think that this is true, that the greatest gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. Okay. And so I'm going to agree with Cy. You're 1 month in, and it's crazy and beautiful right now. I would just give it some more time, because as the baby starts to sleep more, she'll have more energy. You will develop routines and habits, okay? And those routines and habits will become will become very helpful. And 1 month in, you just, especially on your first one, probably those things aren't set yet because the baby doesn't have a routine yet. So. Right.
Brandon, because I want to have a conversation a little bit more about this when we come back, if that'd be all right with you, Brandon, if you have the time, if the baby doesn't start crying or producing in the room, we'd love to talk with you. We're talking fatherhood with David Niles and Adam Minahan, the guys from the Catholic Man Show. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Right back.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, broadcasting to you today not from California, but from Oklahoma, where we are at St. Benedict's Parish with the men from The Man Show, Adam Minahan and David Niles. They are also the men behind St. Michael's Radio here, right here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. 888-3187-884 is the number. We're talking fatherhood. Brandon, I don't know if we dropped too much on you before. How are you feeling about those answers?
Good. And I just want to add as a caveat, I hope I didn't frame the question in a way that didn't sort of pay due diligence to the immense effort that she's putting in. It is something that I appreciate and I'm, you know, eternally grateful for every day. You guys had just mentioned those rituals and those routines that you formed with your wife over time. And I guess I was just wondering, when do those form, and do they form naturally, or is it more efficacious to sort of bring them up?
Oh, I'd bring them up. I mean, I think you got to talk about that stuff. I just you also have to sleep, you know, like right now you're in what we might call crisis mode.
You're trying to survive right now.
Trying to make it through the days, but you got to talk about that stuff, and you have to build those routines together, and hopefully you can both get what you need.
And I would encourage her to reach out to if she has friends who have, you know, kind of are a little bit ahead of you guys on the baby schedule.
Yeah.
Have her reach out to other women for good advice there.
And this is part of why I wanted to come back to Brandon, is that the reality is that people are so mobile in our society now. They're often not where mom and dad live or their sisters and brothers are or that kind of thing. So they're off somewhere. And we tend to live a kind of, you know, nuclear family existence, and the nuclear family is not necessarily the model, God's model of family. That's not like we're supposed to help one another. Like a mom isolated at home all day with a baby is actually not the way. Do you think that's how the Virgin Mary did it? That is not how she lived. She didn't there were other women. There were people around. There was community, and we just don't live that way anymore. I feel it's very, very unfair to mothers. It's just tremendously unfair to mothers, because they're trying to do a very natural thing, mother a child, in a way that actually is not natural, in a way that's very isolated and isolating. And so a woman can feel alone and abandoned and all those things. So I think you got to be sensitive to those things with your wife, but with yourself as well. At Catholic Answers, we have all these young families. And I notice every time one of them has a baby, which is like every week somebody's having a baby, they all rally around. They're all cooking meals, for that family. They make some kind of internet calendar, and everybody signs up to make a meal. And I like the way that they're at least modeling a kind of community there. All these young Catholic Answers folks, but I don't know. I wanted to encourage you, but also to say, this is not the way. This is not God's model of family. A husband and a wife and a child isolated in a home. That can make saints out of people, you know, struggling through that. But that's a cross to bear. That really, I don't think God wants us to bear. He wants us to have help. And it's not. And for many families, young families, that help is not there. So, Brandon, with full understanding, you are in the crisis time. This is a whole new thing to you. We'll pray for him, right?
Absolutely.
We'll all keep you in prayer, Brandon, and your wife and child as well, and many more. I hope that, many more to you and your wife. And thanks for the call. But I got to keep moving, because there's a million people who want to talk about fatherhood, literally 1 million. John is next, calling from California, listening on the EWTN radio app. John, your question for David and Adam.
David and Adam, it's your brother John Sablon from California. I'm going to call and
stuff
you.
What up, John?
You're going to help.
No, actually, it's a comment that I would like you guys to comment on, especially for Brother Brandon, who just called. And I think when it comes to fatherhood and really being a spouse, it's really understanding the biblical masculinity. When Adam was called to till and keep the garden, those words in their original Hebrew are to serve, protect, and defend. And so, you know, for Brandon and for every other man out there, it's really important to understand sacrifice and that we are the chief servants in our home and the chief protectors and chief defenders. And to understand the, you know, as JP2 the Great said, you know, the man is a dimension of self-gift. And so for all, especially these young men who are coming into this and really not understanding or seeing it from their wives' perspective, is that marriage first and foremost is about sacrifice. And that's how true love is actually measured, right? No greater love than this. So we see to the cross. And so I think just for Brandon and every other man out there, and I'd love for you guys to comment on that, is to really understand sacrifice as really the core element of what we're called to do for our families as husbands first and then fathers.
Okay, John. Let's let David and Adam respond.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you, John. I think that that's a very well point. I think in Vatican II documents, Lumen Gentium, I think around number 10, it talks about the difference between ministerial priesthood and the domestic priesthood. And as fathers, we're the domestic priests of our home. The Catechism talks about the domestic church and how we're supposed to make sure that we're, you know, as the priests of our home, that we're doing what? We're offering blessings and we're offering sacrifices. And so if we're offering sacrifices and we're trying to protect, provide, and establish, we realize that as fathers that this is now going to be our role. So as baptized Christians, we're like I said, we are the domestic priests of our home. And so that – and as domestic priests, we're going to be offering sacrifices. I think it's funny that whenever you have a father, whenever you become a father and you have a child, you realize that it's no longer about you. If you didn't realize that at marriage, you definitely realize that about when you become a father, because this life is just completely 100% dependent on you. So I definitely agree that, like you said, no greater love is this than sacrificing yourself. And as domestic priests of our home, we have to be ready to be. We have to be ready to sacrifice for our family.
Right. And like you said earlier, Adam, the answer to every question is Jesus. So Jesus, of course, gives us the best example of this on the cross. This is the sacrificial love that especially as men we're all called to. We're called to lay our lives down for our wives in service to them. We are, like you said, the men, the father, has three jobs. He provides, he protects, and he establishes. Okay, so he, does the basic necessities, you know, the food, shelter, but he also it's his job to give the children, especially I think sons, at least sons in a very special way, set them on the right path in this world. You know, traditionally you think about sons learning a trade from their father, and that doesn't happen in the same way anymore, but we still have to establish them, especially in the trade of religion, if you wanted to put it that way. Make sure that we are training them in what they need to know for life. And that means that we are going to give up ourselves. That means we probably won't get to watch as much football on Sunday as we did before we had kids or before we were married. That means that we probably won't get to spend as much money on all the stuff that we used to spend money on and enjoy. But these things are good, and that is what it's our responsibility, because as the father, we hold the highest office in the home. Okay. We have the first authority. It's not that the man has more authority in the home over his wife, but he has first authority. So it's not like a general and a corporal where the general simply has more authority, with the husband and the wife, the husband's authority simply comes first. And so it exercises its place before the wife. And that is important because that puts us as the leader. You look at King David. He was the leader of Israel. Why is that? Because he was the first one into battle. He was the one who was going to lead and put his life on the line before anybody else in the kingdom. And that is what gave him the right to be king. Okay, and so we're baptized as priest, prophet, and king, mm-hmm. And that's what that means. Our kingship is in our ability and our duty to lay down ourselves for one another. Which, again,
Christ is the ultimate example.
John, thank you very, very much for that call. I appreciate that. 888-318-7884 is the number. I'm going to just keep moving because there are lots and lots of people who want to talk with you gentlemen about fatherhood. We go to Richard now in Atlantic Beach, Florida. Richard, your question or comment for David and Adam.
My heart went out to Brandon. I'm the father with 9 children. I'm just about 65. And I think a couple of things that made it easier, especially when Brandon talked about cooking. So my wife would kind of have to teach me for the most part, but she would have me make one meal and freeze one meal. And so I guess my idea is to try to make it simpler and less of a burden on himself and therefore easier for his whole family. And then the other thing that I found that was given to me was a thing called couch time. And every night I would sit on the couch with my wife holding her hand and just listen to her for probably 30 minutes. And it might have been, seemed to me to be the same thing she said to me the 5 days prior. But it meant so much to her that I cared and I listened. And I think those two things really helped us get through the early days of the first one, but also opening our hearts again and again to each additional child.
Oh, God bless you, Richard. I'm not sure that you are correct, though. I don't think women like it when you listen to them. Oh, okay, my bad. Sorry. Father of 9 with some advice for Brandon. I'm so delighted that Brandon called at 1 month because that's – I mean – you know, you're starting out on the hardest thing you're ever going to do, and how wonderful to have a man like Richard call and give that advice, you know? Richard, thanks. You guys, any comment on what Richard just said?
He's the authority there, I think. But, yeah, make things simple if you can.
Yep. I mean, that's what you got. He said two things. Make things simple.
Oh, and listen to your wife.
Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
All there right. If you haven't seen the video – called It's Not About the Nail, do yourself a favor and Google it. It's Not About the Nail.
Okay. All right. That's about listening.
You will learn a lot.
It's about listening.
All right.
Listening
you will learn a lot.
We're talking about fatherhood with two fathers, Adam and David, the men from The Catholic Man Show. 888-318-7884 is our number. I'll remind you one more time before we go to the break. We have a free ebook for you, Face to Face with Jesus, The Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist. You can download your free copy of that ebook just by clicking on the free ebook banner at shop.catholic.com. Face to Face with Jesus, The Catholic Doctrine of the Eucharist. If you only learn one thing this year, and it's about the truth about the Eucharist, you had a good year. Go over to shop.catholic.com, click on the free ebook banner, and get yours.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Is prayer powerful? St. Alphonsus Liguori put it this way, "He who prays will be saved. He who does not pray, well, you get the point." Prayer can bring us salvation. It's the means of putting us into communion with God, and God can do all things. The more our will lines up with the will of God, the more powerful our prayers, and the simpler they become ultimately, "Be it done to me, Lord, according to thy word." That's the prayer God will always answer.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Delighted again to have you with us. Where I'm here, I got to come over here to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and hang out with the men from the Catholic Men's Show and with a whole bunch of folks here at St. Benedict Parish in Broken Arrow. And thank you all, by the way. Thanks all of you for coming out. Was it for the radio program or the free pizza? Which thing got you out here? It looks like it was the free pizza. Yeah, I think it was the free pizza. Yeah, I think that settles it. We're talking fatherhood, 888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Jill in Colleyville, Texas. Oh, Colleyville, Texas. I always pronounce it wrong. Jill in Colleyville, Texas, listening on AM 910. I'm sure that's Guadalupe Radio. Jill, your question for the men.
It is. Yes. Hi. I was just wondering what Adam and David might think about a young adult relationship contemplating marriage where a girl is the devout Catholic and the boy is a Protestant who isn't always in agreement with the Catholic faith, but yet would have to be the spiritual leader and father of a Catholic family as a Protestant. What would your thoughts be on that?
Well, first, I think that we got to go back to, if you're raising children, you baptize your children, you're claiming to raise them in the faith. So that would be you'd have to raise them in the Catholic faith. So I think that the communication would be very important ahead of time before marriage, of knowing what, you know, how are we going to raise our kids and how are we going to bring up our family. Ultimately, you know, the father is the key. You know, when you're on your deathbed, you want your kids to be able to say, I learned to love and I know the Father's love because I saw it through you. You know, every dad is kind of the living icon of God the Father to their children. So obviously that if there's a Protestant dad, you know, they truly love their Lord and you want to showcase and share God's love through them. But you also, if you're going to be having kids and the girl is a Catholic and wanting to raise her kids Catholic, you know, that has to be said before they're entering into something so serious as the vow of marriage, the sacrament of marriage.
Yeah, I think that my opinion is a little bit – it's not – my opinion on this question is not a popular one. But especially for a woman, you're saying, I want you to lead me to heaven. Yet as a Catholic – I'm looking, if I was a woman looking at this man that, you know, I'm considering marriage, if he rejects truths of the Catholic faith, to me that's going to be a big issue. It's going to be very difficult if you continue to reject some of these truths of the Catholic faith for you to do that. The point of marriage is to get each other to heaven. Okay, so if that's the purpose, and one person is not really on board with that, I would be very cautious before going forward. And certainly if he is not willing to allow the children to be raised in the Catholic faith, I'd say that I would encourage my daughter in this situation to say, if you're not willing to raise our kids Catholic, then I cannot marry you.
That's a tough one. Jill, how do you feel about it?
Well, what if they say, oh, absolutely, absolutely they can be raised Catholic, but yet all of the teachings of the faith they don't agree with, it becomes a battle over every issue, but they say, you know, he would assure her, but we're going to get each other to heaven and we'll work through that. Wouldn't it seem like everything would just be a constant battle? And how unified, even though the agreement was in place, yet every thing that would come up would just be a battle because I believe one way and you believe another way. And even though, you know, you agree to a Catholic marriage with a Catholic family, but yet you're trying to lead a family of ways that you don't really embrace. I would think that would be probably
I don't know
a
if it would be
thing.
A constant battle. I suppose that depends on personalities, but everything will be harder. And I think it's a great disservice when we pretend like it won't, especially if you have someone who is serious or even two people who are serious in their faith. Nothing's easier about that. It's not impossible and it's not forbidden, but everything will be harder. Mm-hmm. Because of it. And on that happy note, I got to move on, Jill, okay? Oh, Okay. All right. Jill, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's go to Anthony in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the Mighty Quest there in Atlanta. Your question, Anthony.
Hey, guys. I had just wanted to share something that my priest told me when my wife and I got our marriage invalidated in the church, that really changed my life, and I'm hoping maybe I help others. He told me, your job as a father and husband, your only job is to make sure that they become saints. So kind of piggybacking on that, on what you guys talked about earlier about, you know, heaven, not Harvard, he said pretty much your job is to make sure that your family becomes saints. And when he told me that, it was kind of just a radical new perspective, and it just kind of bled into all my actions dealing with my family. And it definitely, helped me a lot and kind of changed my life. And I'm hoping maybe if someone else hears that, it helps them too.
I tell you what, it's amazing what a good priest can do, huh? I mean, that priest was exercising his fatherhood over you at that moment. And look what it brought in your life by telling you the truth about your job as a father. What do you guys think? What about what Anthony has to say?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%, and I echo that realization that when you step back and you think about that, wow, it does kind of change the way you think about it, especially as the father, because it's up to you. You're the one in charge of this family. Okay, you're the head of the family, and your wife is the heart of the family. So it's up to you sometimes to set the ground rules about how much television are we going to watch? Are we going to give our kids cell phones? I mean, that's a huge decision. Mm-hmm. And if you decide not to, you're not going to be popular for a while in the family. But that's the job of the dad, is to step up and be the loving authority and do the difficult things, because it is ultimately for their own good, because you want to get them to heaven. I mean, mm-hmm. When you get to heaven, are you going to say, well, you know, like, son or daughter, you didn't make it, but I'm really glad I gave you that cell phone. Not that giving them a cell phone is going to, you know, that they won't go to heaven if they have a cell phone.
I feel like you're saying every child that gets a cell phone goes to hell. Is that what you're saying? No. Okay.
I mean, almost.
But you don't have the statistics on hell. I'm sure you don't.
No, I don't. But it does when you step back and you think, wow, this is my call. Mm-hmm. Because it's part of my office as father to exercise this authority that was given to me from God. And authority that we receive is not for ourselves. Authority is given to us for the good and for the sake of other people. Okay, so I have this authority from God in order that I might use it for the good of my children. Okay, and so if we're not using that authority, we're doing a disservice to this office that we've been given. God gave us this authority for a reason, and we need to use it in accord with His will. And so we just do the best that we can. Obviously, we're not perfect, but
luckily, our Heavenly Father is.
Yeah,
and like we said at the top of the hour, we were talking about how fathers protect, provide, and establish. And I think the establish part is the toughest part. So I think guys can kind of understand that, yes, we're supposed to protect. Yes, we're supposed to provide. But the establishing part is the toughest part, because you have to trust that once you lay this foundation of faith and live the faith in your home, that they're going to go off and do the same. I have this, I thought about this the other day, you know, the Passion of the Christ. It has a flashback with Mary. Jesus falls down. What does Mary do? Mary goes running up these steps to coddle Jesus, you know, whenever he was younger, and say, it's okay. And she's teaching him. And then it flashes back where Jesus is falling with the cross. And he looks over and he sees Mary, and Mary sees him. And she has that flashback of her helping him at that time. But she knows that that was the time that she established. She was establishing Christ. And so that way she knows that it's his job. She can't go help him anymore.
Right, right.
And so I think that's the tough part, for a lot of parents, and especially dads, is to allow them to be established, to trust that, one, that Jesus loves your kid more than you do, and that, you know, and
sometimes a lot more,
a lot more.
Right.
and know that, you know, the work that I've done, you know, throughout his life has hopefully prepared him for sanctity, has hopefully prepared him for the culture. So I think the establishing part is kind of tough as a father to take on.
And I'll just say, from my own perspective, it's so helpful having such a wonderful wife, because she encourages me in this way so many times. She is mm-hmm. often the voice of reason for me, saying, you know, is this really the is this good for our kids? Or sometimes, is this good for us? You know, sometimes I get this notion like, well, we won't let the kids watch it, but, you know, we'll. And then I realize, no, this isn't good for me either. I shouldn't be doing this. And so you have to make these difficult decisions. You can just ask yourself with everything. Is this going to get me closer to heaven, or is this going to prevent me from getting to heaven? I mean, that's a pretty easy question that we forget to apply, I think.
That's why I listen to the Catholic Man Show.
There you go.
Right.
Hey, shout out to all the Council of Man members, by the way. I had to do that before I forgot.
Well, that was close, man. You
I
got
know.
That
I
close.
I waited to the very end, but I wanted to make sure I said it.
Anthony, I'm so happy to hear that a priest made that point and changed not just your life, but your children's lives as well. Any comment you want to finish with, Anthony?
In general, I love the Catholic Mass Show, and I especially love Catholic Answers. I love you, Cy. I love everybody there, and you guys do awesome work, and you guys really, really help me. When I chose to come back to the Catholic Church. And so thank you. Thank you guys a lot. Appreciate it.
God bless you, brother. Thank you very, very much for that. That's a nice thing to end on. A man who likes Catholic Answers better than the Catholic Man Show. That was what he said, right? did I hear that wrong?
I didn't hear that.
No, I think that's
part.
What he said.
Oh, okay.
CatholicManShow.com is where you can find them. Adam Minahan, thank you very, very much for a fine hour. Really,
what
a couple
blast.
Hours. Really appreciate it.
And,
yeah.
And whoever else.
And you, other guy.
Whoever else.
The great
David
guy.
Niles.
Well, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Thank you very much. And you have a book coming out with Catholic Answers Press.
Yeah, hopefully summer 2020, talking about virtues, the life of the virtuous.
All right. And you're going to work on that book?
No, I'm too smart to write a book.
Thanks to everybody here at Broken Arrow at St. Benedict's Parish. God bless you. Hey, we'll see you next week on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.